I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I can spend hours and weeks on all the mantras. You are loved. You deserve to be here. You are needed. Necessary. I can chant those affirmations a million times in constant and consistent repeat until one day the record skips and "No You're Not" becomes the new song and I become limbless. I evaporate into nothing. I've lived with depression my entire life, sliding in and out of it as easily as I do the size 2 pants that only fit when the fog has made its way back. Depression is like a rumor that grows quietly and steadily, causing no problems or distractions until one day I remember that time I left the stove on and burnt food and the smoke and the chaos of the alarm that blares a broken jazz in my mind because this shame is the only soundtrack I have. I take my medication faithfully. I do all I can. I do all I can for that this thing does not eat my bones. I visit my doctor weekly. I'm trying to stay alive. One day I wake and instead of dread, instead of echoing, hollowing sadness, instead of a stomach that lurches in disappointment at morning or at waking or at the 24 hours I need to occupy, I feel a calm, I feel a soothing, the sun appearing and allowing in the beauty that into morning. This happens every single time until it stops and the fog comes again. Like clockwork, I wish I could smash it to bits. And this, right there, is the one thing that I can count on. No matter how long it goes away for, it will always come looking for me again. It will always return. I'm so tired of this returning. I tell people words that fall hollow in my own ears. A friend told me once that each of us and our unique fingerprints hold up the universe, and that any missing fingerprint is a loss the universe can neither regain nor afford to lose. I share this with people often. I give the suggestion, allow yourself mourning. I tell them it means that today may have been a rolling ball of anxiety and trembling, a face wet and slick with tears, but if you can get to morning, if you can allow yourself a new day to encourage a change, then you can get through it. Allow yourself morning. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
And we're live on a Saturday evening, nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we ain't been doing nothing, guys. I mean, what's the rush? You know what I mean?
I was in the rush.
Yeah, Karen was working on her farm. I was trying to send the demons of hell back away from the earth. So it was a lot of stuff going on in this mm-hmm. house, guys.
And I did a full shift.
I made guacamole.
It was good.
That was a thing. I warmed up some shumai. That happened. So, I mean, you know, just doing our thing, you know. I had to check in on Castlevania, see what's happening in season 3. I'm on the final episode now, so just been one of those days, guys.
Yeah, that shumai was actually really, really good. And hopefully we can get a little piece for the steamer so we can steam it. But that shumai is really good.
Mm-hmm. I'm not as worried about steaming it, but sure. I like it like it is. But maybe one day.
Maybe one day.
Anyway, guys. I mean, I can technically steam that. We have stuff in the house that can steam it. I have a thing that goes over to a pot that can make it a steam, like make the steam cook it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if that's really something that is important to you, I can make it happen.
Oh, I just wanted to know what it tastes like steam. That's all.
Okay. At any rate, guys, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search the Blackout Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. Today's excerpt is from. Oh wait, I mean, and of course, you know, this is a feedback show, so we're gonna get into your 5-star reviews, your emails, your phone calls, all that stuff that you guys left, all the feedback that you left. We're gonna talk about it. We appreciate everybody takes the time out to leave that feedback, which is why we do this episode, because you guys are so prolific with your feedback. Okay,
yay.
And we do have 5-star reviews. We have all that stuff today, so
wonderful.
Very excited. The excerpt that I read before we started was actually from I'm Telling the Truth But I'm Lying by Bossy Igby, who you guys may know from This Too Much, you know, friend of the podcast and you know, my co-host over there, but also extremely talented poet and writer.
She has a way with words.
Yeah, this book, man, I really can't stress enough, man. Right. It's masterful.
It is beautiful. I actually did the audio book, and hearing it in her own words for me personally made it really stick to my heart. It was an emotional roller coaster. listening to her go through the book, because I can relate to some of those things, and I can relate to depression and being depressed and being sad and wishing you were not here and just all the ups and downs that go along with that.
Mm-hmm. And I bring it up today specifically because I think this quarantine thing is definitely doing a number to people's brains.
It is.
You know, I think a lot of us are going through it, you know. It makes me, one thing it made me think about was, as anguished as everybody feels about this lack of mobility and freedom that they have, imagine how, you know, prisoners feel. You know, when we talk about prison needs to be harsh, it needs to be a place where you can be punished, and it needs to be brutal with violence, and people need to be, you know, sexually assaulted and stuff, and we cheer that on from the sidelines. And sometimes you hear people say that, you know, specifically if you don't like somebody, it's, I hope they get raped, I hope this, that, and the other. Dog, this shit, just not being able to do what you want to do when you want to do it, is already a fucking mind trip, you know. That being said, I've also read a little bit about, you know, the idea that it's affecting people's mental health. And if you already come into it dealing with certain mental health issues, you know, being cooped up inside all the time can definitely be something that affects people's depression. You know, the fact that, you know, not to mention your anxiety is always on 10 because every news article, you can't log into any social media without someone sharing something. Mm-hmm. And most of the news is the sky is falling. There's not a lot of good news going on right now.
Correct.
Even if you share, and this has happened with me, I've tried to change what I share online, and I've tried to share more positive stories because I don't want to just be sharing everyone's obituary. I don't want to just be sharing, right, you know, if I can make a joke out of something, I might. Like if I see a gathering of people standing outside, you know, ignoring the quarantine rules, I might be like, look at these dummies, you know. But in general, I'm trying not to share the most depressing, saddest news, you know, like it's, everyone here has heard it already, and it's not really helping, and we just disasterbate all day over it, you know.
Yep. And I know for me, that's why I've really been playing my game for like long extensive periods of time, because I was like, I have to check out, like it is just too much. I don't want to see another feed, I don't want to see another tweet, I don't want to see it.
And it's gonna get bigger, and it's gonna touch everybody, you know. You're gonna see more friends that are personally affected. You may lose friends, you may, right, people gonna lose, you know, they're gonna go through grieving online and stuff. This is gonna hurt a lot of people. And so I'll say all that to say, it's definitely got to be affecting people that deal with stuff already.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the book, even though it's not an advice book, which I actually appreciate, I think Bossy wrote something so unique because it's not an advice book, which, you know, comes off almost like I'm doing better than you, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm talking down to you. I find a lot of people that make advice books, they don't always have their shit together anyway,
right?
But it's normally like some type of avoidance, you know, where it's like, I'm actually still going through a lot of shit, but let me tell you what I know and I figured, right, out. And it helps people not concentrate on the person giving the instructions,
right? And the thing that I really loved about Bicey's book is that it showed her flaws.
Mm-hmm.
Which a lot of people, when they write those advice books, they don't show that they're a flawed character. They want you to say, think I have it all together and you come to me for answers. Right. No, everybody's flawed.
All right, I'll present to you how, here's a funny story you can learn from when I messed up. Like, right, there's not just, this is a thing that happened to me and it crushed me, or I didn't realize it or whatever. It's not like, anyway, so I like that. I like also that it's so personal, but it's still kind. Like, it still, right, lets people exist in a way where she doesn't turn everything to a black and white situation where I'm this hero and this person is this bad villain person that came into my life and I had to overcome everything and all that stuff. Like, you know, it's very understanding of humans and herself.
Right.
And then, like, the way it talks about, you know, the book talks about depression, as this thing that is looming, as this thing that, when you're living with bipolar 2, I believe Bossy has, when you're living with that, it's not like this thing where some people can kind of like, I was sad for a few days, or, and then you never worry about it again, or, you know, something sad happens and the correct reaction is to be sad. Hey, right. You lose a loved one, you lost your job, you know, something, you broke up, like, you know, there's things that people are sad, but, you know, for her, the thing it made me think about was just the constant fight that she's in, the constant vigilance, you know, and I understand that she can get tired and be tired, and mm-hmm. I understand that, you know, it's really more about having a little bit of hope and knowing and trying to understand when you're in that mode, it won't always be like this. And so I did want to stress that to the audience, you know, things are gonna probably be, you know, bad for a while. We're gonna be watching death toll numbers skyrocket all over the place. You're gonna have, you know, you're gonna have this Trump on TV just fucking, you know, lying and gaslighting everyone. We're gonna see all the inner workings and back and forth of trying, you know, the machinations of like which states get what and all that stuff. I'm not saying turn away from that. I'm not trying to tell you it's not important. I mean, hell, we cover that stuff on the show for a reason. Right. I think it is important, but understand that you have to have some hope. Yeah. You know, understand that you have to allow for the fact that, you know, there's light within the days. There's light, not just at the end of the tunnel, but there's light within each day is not filled with bullshit. You know, don't let it steal your joy. You know, don't let it steal your resilience. One of the things that, like I said, I share now, I'm sharing all these articles of people trying to help. You know, and I think it's important to make space for that, because she is a bunch of cynicism, and especially with online now, so many people get off. Like, honestly, it's like they orgasm at the fact of shitting on you, saying, mm-hmm. oh, this person's trying to help, or this thing is trying to help. You know, it's like they're in a negative frame and they need to dunk on you to bring you down.
Correct.
And it's like, at least we'll both be miserable together. Mm-hmm. You know, like I shared an article on my Facebook page about Robert Kraft flying a million masks from China to America, to Maine, which is an even deeper story, because apparently the governor in Maine's been trying to get these masks, and Donald Trump and the federal government has been intercepting the shipments and stuff, right?
Wow.
Because each state is on its own, right? But I said, I just shared it. I didn't even leave a comment. Because in my mind, I was thinking, good. You know, like, people need those masks. I don't know. You know, and then, you know, you see the commentary around it. And like I said, it's like people are addicted to it. It's, well, he said Aaron Hernandez was on his team, and he was in a football video saying, you know, little kids should still play football. I was like, what does that have to do with this, though?
What does it have to do with this?
You know what I mean?
Right? You just had to say something.
Like, he didn't, you know, like, I just don't understand. Like, why can't this exist in a place where it is? You know, I saw Jemele Hill, you know, many others, I'm sure. Well, he's friends with Trump. Okay. But he's helping right now, and that's important. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. There's a time for that. I'm not trying to say that it doesn't matter at all, but, you know, you have to understand that people need fucking hope right now. They need it. You know, everything can't be, let me shit on this. You know, Oprah gives $10 million, or why, you know, or, I mean, she's a billionaire. Eat the rich and shit. It's like, dog, I don't know what to tell you, man, but if you had $1 billion or whatever the fuck, I'm sure, you know, you would give up this money. You do something to try to help, you know, and this is trying to help. This is going to people on the front lines to help. You know, it's actually a little bit uplifting to see so many people chip in a system where government is failing us.
Right.
You know, in a system where, you know, we're seeing, like, if it wasn't for the individual charitable person, if it wasn't for the person on the ground doing the work of providing meals for people who can't leave their houses, making sure shopping for elderly people and stuff so they don't have to, you know, that kind of stuff, if it wasn't for that, man, we would have nothing. Because because if you're waiting on a federal response to this that's gonna work, it's not coming. and for the most part. And so we're really on our own. And so those same, you know, rich people and celebrities everybody shitting on that are doing stuff like Bill Gates funding the vaccine study for at the cost of $100 million, that's nothing to sneeze at. That's, you know, this thing where if you bring that up and people are like, you trying to defend billionaires? See, capitalism got y'all. It's like, no, I don't give a fuck about capitalism. Mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck about how much money's in that person's pocket. Your $3 wasn't gonna get it done.
Come on.
So I don't know what to tell you. You know, I feel the same way I said when we talked about the political action committees and the fundraising with Democrats. I don't care that Bernie Sanders had $5 donations. I don't care. It literally doesn't matter to me. Only thing that should matter is winning. That you have one job to win this, to win presidency. However you figure out to fund that, that's on you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not worried if it's a Wall Street dollar. I just need you to get your ads on TV to inform these dummies that you're out here trying to give them a choice, right? And so it's that kind of thing that you know, that I've become like I'm starting to become annoyed with the idea of shitting on everything people are trying to do to work this out, to fix this. Because what I do know is a million masks on the front line of this battle with our medical staff sounds like the right, a step in the right direction.
It is.
It sounds like more of a good thing than a bad thing, because the medical staff are the people that are confronting this and getting sick at a higher rate, and some of them are dying.
Yes.
So if you're telling me we're gonna get these people the PPE, you know, the personal protective equipment that they need, then that's what the fuck, that's, I don't care who it's coming from. I don't. Mm-mm. Like, to keep it a buck, I don't care if it was Trump.
Right.
Like, Trump is in charge of the government right now. Let's say he just out of the park and did a great job from this point on. I'd be fine with that. I'm not gonna vote for him.
Nope.
But that's better than what the fuck is happening.
Right.
Like, real lives are being lost, and people are quibbling over fucking, like, I don't like Oprah, I don't like Diddy, or so, you know, I do like Rihanna, you know, that kind of stupid shit. And so it just made me think, like, one of the signs of depression that some people have is like anger, especially in men.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think, like, well, everyone's in the house. Mm-hmm. Everyone can't really have their loved ones, they can't be close to folks, you can't visit, you can't go out and party, you can't go out and really like drink or
distract yourself,
you know, go to a restaurant. And so maybe people are just really in a deep, dark kind of societal depression, and they're bringing everyone down with them. You know, I have no degrees in this shit, but that's kind of how it feels, because they're taking things that would be positive and trying to twist them into something negative. And even the things that they say they want, when they happen, they don't talk about it. So like, they'll be like, well, why, somebody need to fund something for this vaccine. It's like, okay, well, Bill Gates put $100 million up for that. Man, they ain't shit, they ain't gonna do nothing, man, who gives a fuck about that? Like, oh, this is like how your brain works when during depression, where you can't hear the good. You can only spiral down and down into the negative.
Right.
And you know, I we're all connected digitally now, and you know, it can be frustrating, you know, because I don't want to spend my time like that. I don't want to spin out of control just because I see you spiraling down. I don't necessarily want to be taken down with you. So I think that's kind of interesting to see, you know, this happened. And then, like I said, it made me think about allow yourself mourning. You know, you have to allow yourself that little bit of hope. You have to allow yourself, I'm gonna get through this, and then we'll see what happens tomorrow. Like, let this thing run its course, but let's not just give up, let's not just despair and quit.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where it's like a one day at a time, one step at a time. Our society as a whole, when it was functionally normally, everything is instant. I post everything online, it's instant, I get instant gratification, instant, everything is quick and everything is fast. Now all of a sudden everything has slowed down and almost came to a stop. And a lot of people do not know how to function when things aren't going around. I think in addition to what you're saying, a lot of people aren't comfortable with being alone. A lot of people aren't comfortable with being around family members and friends. They're just not comfortable with that, because it's causing people to actually have to sit down and get in a quiet place and actually get into their own thoughts. And that's the last thing that some people want to do, is get into their own thoughts. TPS said, alcohol sales have been up through the country like 55% nationwide. It's the reason why. Because people are trying to cope. People are trying to deal. And I know for me personally, and I said this before, joy and happiness is something that you have to continually fight for. And a lot of people, they don't have that fight within them, but I refuse to give that up within me. Because that's all I have, is just hope, you know. And I refuse to let anybody else steal it from me, and I refuse to give it up myself.
Yeah, I think also, like, you know, people are in some bad situations. You know, there's people stuck in houses with people that they don't want to be in there with, or, you know, obviously abusive situations. There's, you know, job situations, anxiety that's happening. And I think the internet presents this one place people feel like they have control. And so they can be like, I can go on the internet and yuck everybody's yum. I can, you know, I can shit on everything, you know. Movies that were supposed to come out in the theater are coming to streaming. You know, I saw people shitting on that. $20 for a movie, man, fuck you. Whatever. I'm like, one, you don't gotta buy it.
No, you don't.
Two, the other alternative was go to the theater and risk death. They're in the bind too. Right. You know what I mean? Like, they're also selling these movies with the idea of, you own this movie now. $20 is what it costs to get a Blu-ray when it comes out. Mm-hmm. So it's not like that's some crazy fucking number that's never existed before. And then you can rewatch this movie in perpetuity. They also have options to, like, rent the movies and stuff. But, you know, if you have, like, Vudu, Amazon, or whatever, $20 for a movie. But my point is, it's a thing to help people get by, essentially, and to help the theaters get by.
Mm-hmm.
And to help the companies get by, the movie companies. And people turned it into a negative. They, like, our brains are just conditioned right now to be like, instead of even just being like, I'm not gonna do it, it has to be turned into like, this is a horrible thing that shouldn't exist. Like, why isn't this $4 or whatever? It's like, what do you want them to do?
And if that was, you would yell about that. You would ask for it to be free.
I don't know. But even if they didn't ask for it to be free, it would just, it's always gonna be something, you know, is the point. You know, that, I think it's just kind of weird, the negativity we have, that it's kind of taken over everything for a lot of folks, you know. And, you know, like I was talking to the person that, you know, brought up the Robert Kraft shit, because I basically was just like, I guess, you know, like, I don't know what you want me to do, man. Dude's, you know, he's trying to help at this point. I don't, like, what would you like me to do? Like, fuck him, fuck these masks, I hope people keep dying. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I think this is a good thing. I shared it with no comment in the first place. And then they replied like something else negative about him. And then I finally was just like, listen, I'm trying to stay positive. We're all in a fucked up situation right now. Some of us are barely fucking holding on by a thread. You know what I mean? Like, what's the point of bringing this shit to everyone? You know what I mean? So, like, why can't, I said, the only thing we can really control is to be kind. You know, like, let's try to be kind to each other. You know, I didn't cuss her out, call her no names or nothing. And she did, like, leave me alone after that or whatever. and then that was it. You know, like, you know, no hard feelings, no nothing. You know, I'm blocking you, motherfucker. Like, nothing like that, but just, dog, everybody going through it right now. You know, like, don't be the person on the plane. You know, don't be that person.
Don't be the person on the plane.
Allow yourself mourning. You know, if you can't, you know, if it feels dark right now, it feels like there's no hope, feels like there's nothing you can do, you know, give yourself that one more day. Give yourself that one more chance to hear something positive, to let something positive sink in, to start, you know, having that hope again. Because I feel like a lot of people feeling hopeless right now.
They are.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know, ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. A reading rainbow. Oh yeah, read the rainbow. But also guys, some people gave us money. Dedicate this to the American economy, because we're about to go through this. Recession, depression, and unemployment. Today's a new day.
So right on time, ain't it?
Ain't it? New day, new shit, okay? New money. Preston, Team Drove, shout out to him, recurring for donator. Cedric W, we appreciate you. Tracy J, thank you, Tracy. Allegra, our girl, what's going on? Appreciate you. Melanike I. Monica T. Gerard L. Thank you for so much, Gerard. Gotta load that one. Calvin. Recurring donated. Thank you, Calvin. Hope that McDonald's is coming along.
I hope it is too. Hope they didn't have to shut down.
Lanika M, thank you. But they're probably just doing drive through only.
Oh, that's right.
Jason F. Tyrone M. Dostra J. Alexander M. Waste Bees by Suru. Michael Irvin, Playmaker. Eric M. Attitude Check.
Bronco Pride.
You know. Jasmine A. Jonathan W. Deborah O. Janine R. Omat A. Our girl Shannon. What's going on, Shannon?
Hey, baby.
Rachel H. Mary H. Stefan H. None of these people are related. Just lots of H's. Triple H. Trivia T is a brand new recurring donator trivia.
Hey, baby.
Gone to the new members class. Okay, Conrad will walk you through it. And James G, that's the last one. Thank you, everybody.
Today's a new day. But tell me, where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where's the love and the joy and the promise? You tell me it's all right.
The truth is,
I almost gave up, but my power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower, and
I know we've been hurt, y'all, but still
I smile.
Come on,
even though it hurts me, I smile.
Yeah,
I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while,
still
I smile.
Hallelujah.
Smile. It's so hard to look up when you look down. I sure would hate to see you give up now. You look so much better when you smile.
All right, let's get to these 5-star reviews. Count them, okay? So, we got some on iTunes. Let's get into these. Thanks for everything that y'all do. First time, long time, been loving listening to y'all since 2011. Gonna try and be brief. Began listening to the Blackout Tips after I read about you guys in Maxim magazine around 2010-2011. What?
Ooh, long time ago.
I don't even remember being in Maxim magazine. Holy shit, was that in print?
I don't know. Might have been online.
Shout out to Maxim. But it wasn't messing with that King magazine, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to my black men. Y'all know what's up.
Not the King.
It was a very small mention, but I'm so glad it was there. I had a subscription to magazine from doing contract work in Iraq in the early 2010s. I came back home to Chicago, where I was a groundskeeper at University of Chicago. Of course, I was outside all the time, and I needed something to stimulate my mind while working. Music wasn't cutting it as much anymore. I had many podcasts come and go, but not you two's pod. I've gone through some episodes of depression from PTSD. Y'all were there for me. I was out of work for 2 months after having been shot while on my way to work. Damn!
Ooh, baby.
Y'all were there. I moved across the country and now reside in Las Vegas. Still, y'all are here. I'm now a postal worker here in Las Vegas, Trump country. I don't think y'all know how much this pie helps folks feel better and feel connected. Thank y'all for continuing to hit us with that constant fire. Spread love. It's the TBGWT way. Thank you.
Thank you, baby. You be safe out there delivering mail.
Yeah. Wow, man. That is so crazy. And, you know, like, I actually saw this earlier in the week, and I took a screenshot of it and shared it on our social media because I was like, you know what, man? I am stepping into this. Like, this whole... Y'all don't know how important this is. You know, y'all help us feel connected. Y'all help us feel better. I was like, yeah, I'm fully accepting that compliment. I appreciate it. You know, what we do is important, even if, you know, it is just us kind of giving our opinions on the news of the day. Like, if it matters to people, then, you know, it fucking matters. And I'm glad that that you're still here. I'm sorry you got shot, but
right, baby,
you know, so you know, it's cool that, and I'm glad you know you decided right then, because it's never too late, man. It's
never.
That's crazy. 10 years after we started this show, you've been listening that long, and then you wrote this. You've been with us since we were doing one episode a week.
Yep, right on time, baby. I tell people, I don't care how long it takes, you were right on time.
When there were no feedback shows, like,
nope,
man, thank you. Great podcast. This is from, and that was from Ashy Nooks. The next one is from Stakuz, STAKUZ, and it says, great podcast, funny, insightful, intelligent, and easy listening. Thank you.
Thank you. See, they ain't got to be long, y'all.
Five on it.
Ow.
It's from O Tom A, who says, I've been listening to this podcast since 2014 almost daily, and I can't believe it took Rona to finally put a five on it. I discovered on the podcast through the Dan Levitard show when Bomani used to come on the show often and would mention something Ryder said on the Blackout Tips. Ever since, this podcast has helped me get through long days at work and long commutes. Thank you so much for what y'all do. Love y'all. Yep.
Thank you.
And of course, as always, shout out to Bomani, man. You know, homeboy Hall of Fame. And it's still kind of crazy just knowing him or whatever,
right?
You know, obviously like the love is always shared and mm-hmm. reciprocal. So this is a must listen to while during the quarantine, says I love to travel. Oh yeah, you definitely going through it if you love to travel.
Come on.
Right,
I guess videos gonna have to get us through it. I like to travel too, baby.
Nobody got the username. I love to stay in, right?
Nope.
Stan says, I recently stumbled across this podcast looking for new to listen to. I went all the way back and listened to the old show. Me and Rye have similar views. We also watch the same show because you don't find too many okay people who like Game of Thrones. Thank you, Ryder Carey. I was so hyped when I found out you guys live in Charlotte like I do. 5 out of 5 stars. Wish I could give more. And that's from Twin D1. Thank you, Twin.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Oh, the title of that one was Stan. STAN. The one before that was Quarantine Must. And then lastly is Trey L. Scott. I just stumbled across this podcast and instantly fell in love. Such a great, informative, and well knowledgeable podcast. Thank you. Appreciate it, man.
So, mm-hmm. I know some of y'all locked up. The Rona got you in the house. Y'all can leave us fine. You put like this. Now you ain't got no excuse. You ain't busy. What is you doing?
On Stitcher, we have 2 new 5-star reviews. This is from Miss Barnes, our girl. My Rona review, best podcast ever. Love this show so much. I finally found a way to leave a review on Stitcher. The Sea Podcast has us in uncharted waters, but your podcast is the anchor that is badly needed in these times. Thank you so much for taking care of us tippers in these Rona times. Love y'all, Miss Barnes 72.
Thank you.
One says 5 stars, hand washing Jones follow through. As promised, and long, long overdue, here's a well-deserved 5-star review. I didn't start this with the intention to rhyme, but as you see, it just happens from time to time. What? This whole thing gonna do? I feel like I should be doing this in Curtis Blow's voice.
Yeah!
And since the revelation of the theme, I'll take the risk of becoming a meme. Been listening for a long minute. The favorite podcast fries, you win it. I was born and raised in the South. Now living in Utah, missing that Southern mouth. Y'all be keeping a brother connected to his roots and killing with the entertaining value to boot. I ain't got to the premium level as of yet, but it's a definite consideration, you can bet. Now let me bring this bit of spit to an end, cause I wanna keep Roddy Karen as good friends. Anyone down for a good listen, Shafiq? The Black Gal Tips, you can bet your bottom dollar it wins every last one of the chips. From the long time listener, Lurker said. It's like a joke sometimes that make me wonder how. Thank you, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
I feel like if somebody should have been just like clapping in the background, clap your hands, everybody.
Like, hey, these are the breaks.
Right. Somebody say ho. Actually, man, thank you. That was very cute.
Thank
that was
you. Adorable.
All right, let's get to y'all's comments on the website, theblackguywithtips.com. We have episodes. You guys leave comments. You know the deal. The first episode of the week was our feedback show, The Legend of Hand Washing Jones.
Shout out to Hand Washing Jones.
Shout out to Hand Washing Jones. Our girl Sydney says, sitting here listening to the feedback show as I'm sitting on my balcony, watching my neighbors swimming around in our community pool. I don't know if quarantine will get extended, but people are definitely not respecting the shelter in place order here in Charlotte.
No, you know what? They actually had a huge spike and uptick in people calling 311 and reporting on people here in Mecklenburg County, because they were saying, like, don't call 911. So they've been tearing 311 up. And they was talking about they might actually tighten the restrictions because, like, it's been beautiful. So people been, like, going to the park on the weekends and shit. They was like, we might have to shut the parks and shit down. They were like, stay your ass at home.
Yeah, people don't be respecting that 6 feet, man. Like, they'll be like, you can go out. You still need to do self-distancing. And people, like, physical distancing or whatever. And people will really be like, we're all standing in line for ice cream about 2 feet, you know, 1 foot apart, standing right next to each other. It's like, this is going to go on forever.
Yep.
Amon says, hey y'all, thanks for ending this episode on such a hilarious note. I hope someone is inspired to do some artwork about the legend of Hand Washing Jones. I was cracking up. I thought maybe Karen was talking about Pasteur, but I was wrong because he just confirmed Hand Washing Jones findings. It was some German guy whose name I'm not gonna look up again because I like Hand Washing Jones, but he died from an infection he got from being beat by guards at the mental asylum he was in because they didn't wash their hands. Poor Hand Washing Jones.
Oh,
love y'all, Amon.
He was black then.
Yeah, actually, someone actually emailed us with all the, like, stuff, because our, you know, our listeners are all fucking brilliant and shit.
Ain't they smart?
So they's like, yeah, I'm actually a professor that teaches about hand washing. I'm just like, you motherfuckers, boy. Swear to God.
Y'all smarty art out there.
It's like, we can't even make the jokes, because then y'all really do come off the top rope with the, like, and just, since we have an educational moment, boom!
I didn't get these degrees for nothing. You gonna learn.
The poll was, do you think Hand Washing Jones is black, yes or no?
Oh, yes. Hand Washing Jones, yes.
The one we made up?
Yes, the one we made up is black.
Yeah, well, 82% agree that he must have been black. The way they treated him, I mean.
Come on!
It sounded like a black thing.
Even if he was, white, he ended up getting beat up in jail, he's still black.
He can come to the cookout in heaven.
Come on.
And 18% say no. Probably because they know the truth. Ann says, Hand Washing Jones was a German-Hungarian man who figured it out by observing the cause of death during childbirth. Told you they can't let us live, y'all. You can't improv with everybody. The interesting.
Well, actually, I actually know what happened.
Even though I clearly can see y'all joking, let me step all in this. The interesting thing to me is that his study showed that midwives who washed their hands before deliveries had few deaths, but male medical students who didn't wash their hands even after touching cadavers had a high percentage of deaths. It took 20 years for them to accept germ theory, which was discovered in the Middle East in the 1300s. So my observation, they didn't consider the death of women during childbirth serious enough to study the cause in depth. I hear you, Ann.
Holy shit.
But I say he was a black German Hungarian. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
I need to see photographical evidence that he wasn't a nigga. they treated him like one.
Right. Beat him in jail.
Context clues, Ann. Jacqueline.
He was brown to somebody.
Jacqueline says, not only do I think Hand Washing Jones is black, I think Hand Washing Jones is a black woman. Ooh, next level. Next level.
Controversy.
Yeah, I just said I said he because he was allowed to work in the room with the doctors, but you might be on to something.
Yeah, they ignore black women hard.
Kim Doc says 93% of Jones I know are black, so there you go. Science. Amon says Hand Washing Jones is the black man that German dude stole the idea from, just like Jack denials the cotton gin and the host of other inventions and good ideas. Yep, that's what I'll be saying. It's like how they said Crispus Attucks was a patriot that decided to die for his country, and we all know that. The white people. Well, if you're serious about the revolution, I bet you won't shoot this nigga right here. That's how I think it happened. Don't write in about Crispus Attucks, guys. I understand he was an abolitionist. Jesus Christ. I know one of you motherfuckers had typed up an email already and just, oh, God damn it, I'll delete it.
Somebody with them letters behind that degree.
Yeah. That's not what happened, Rod. Oh man. Eve,
I hear the keys clicking right now.
We got episode 2074, mask on. Eve writes in, Y'all, you are so right about being glad blacks weren't involved in that fuckery called Tiger King, especially when the only person of color got his arm bitten off. Nope. They can keep that shit. Plus, I'm scratching my head trying to figure out why people are surprised that Joe is racist. Yeah, this, like, I'm not trying to be a dick, but two things I'm not surprised at. Like, they were almost not news to me. And, you know, I know everybody's in the house right now, everybody's upset, but the clip of him where he was like, the rapper say the n-word, why can't I say the n-word? I was like,
oh, I haven't seen that clip.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they were sharing it, like, I hate to tell you guys, but I'm like, so a white redneck from Florida was right, what,
can you believe that?
What?
shooting his sound
cookout invitation ended, like, get the fuck out of here. And then the second one was, they were like, the person that was in the documentary, I think Safe was their name, that was, is actually a trans man, but they, the Joe and them constantly referred to the, to him as a she. They just constantly misgendered her, whether on purpose or not, who knows. You know, Joe didn't seem like the type to give a fuck.
Mm-mm.
And second, that was my second, yeah, not surprised
that he would not care.
Nothing about them felt woke to me. No,
at all.
No one involved in the entire operation felt like, yeah,
in
you know what,
redneck hillbilly zoo, you think they're gonna be politically correct?
I might take people's horses and feed them to tigers when I'm not supposed to, but what I goddamn won't ever be doing is misgendering people or saying something racist. That is where I draw the line. Like, nah, I'm not surprised. That's the least surprising part of this whole mess. People are saying free Joe, and I'm like, what? While the documentary was entertaining, that dude is a predator, preying on young men, keeping them high to stay with him. He is where he belongs, in prison. P.S. Carol Baskin killed her husband for sure. Yeah, I feel y'all on all that.
Reopen the investigation.
Yeah. And I don't know if Joe was framed or not. Just because they brought it up on the documentary isn't like we went through the trial. You know what I mean? Like, that's a thing that happens on TV all the time, where they'll be like, and they'll give you like a two sentence, like, this is what the trial was. And it's like, that is a miscarriage of justice. And then it's like, well, 12 people on a jury sat through this and saw all kinds of evidence we didn't see.
Right.
You know, it's one of the low key is one of the reasons I kind of stopped watching a lot of the, and I'm not trying to be a dick about this, but a lot of the, like, did they murder them or did they not murder them stuff, I stopped watching it. Cause they cherry pick the facts, and then when you do a little extra research, it's like, well, that is, if they didn't murder them, that is a huge preponderance of evidence that they murdered that motherfucker. Like, I ain't saying they, you know, it's like if, like, you know, when they bring up in, Serial or whatever, you find out like Adnan had said some shit about killing Hay in his diary or whatever. And you're like, I'm not saying he did it. But I mean, if I was on a jury and I was presented with a bunch of evidence and this was part of it, I might be like, he could have did it. Like, that's not a normal thing you write about your girlfriend. You know what I mean? Like, anyway, all that stuff to say, you know, I understand, you know, the people just saying that shit on Twitter and stuff just for fun. Like, they don't really want to try to free that dude.
Mm-mm.
Kim Doc says, EVE, she guilty as fuck. She did that shit. The intoxication of these tigers is something I don't ever want to experience. The one guy had a harem of barely legal girls. Thank goodness it wasn't any black women in there. Yeah, I don't know why, man, but black people did not fuck with them tigers.
Mm-mm. I'm joking, but it's kind of serious. I did not realize that tigers and animals made white women's pussies wet, because most black people be like, a tiger, the fuck is this? I'm out.
I can't believe people like dropped their daughters off with him and shit. Like, that was so crazy. Like, the woman was like, yeah, my dad dropped me off. He said, well, don't fall in love with him. And this, honk, honk. I'm like, what is happening? Florida is like another nation.
Right.
I thought on many occasions that if one or two of the tiger folks was black and pop in, the laws would switch up super quick. They can't have that. True. I still haven't finished the doc. It was a good white trash time until Travis blew his brains out. Thankfully it wasn't on camera, although I do feel like they had a real camera angle of it. That was, yeah, there was a bunch of stuff they said they left on the cutting room floor because it's too graphic.
Mm-hmm.
Like Joe feeding a horse to the tigers and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
That was all too much for me, and he got yet another young husband. If you watch the date, the guy only cares about being close to the tigers, not about Dirty Joe. Man, White people love tigers.
Yes, they do. You want them to ban tigers or let niggas have tigers? Tigers will be banned immediately.
Yeah, and I definitely don't want black people to have them. So.
No, I don't either. But if you actually want to ban them, that's one way. Because anything that we own, they're banned.
It happened with guns.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ordered delivery food since coronavirus hit your area? Yes or no? 54% say yes. 46% say no.
We did one time.
Mm-hmm. And I would do it again, but it just, like, you got to be careful. You know, no contact delivery. You got to wipe off everything. Got to put it in your own stuff. Like, it's a bit of a hassle compared to just cooking and not having to worry about all that shit. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, at least you didn't cook that meal, right? And you can't, and you support a local business, hopefully, with that money. Zakiya says, start with Kim Doc. Kim Doc says, does Hungry Harvest count? If so, yes, and that's been a godsend for me. Affordable fresh fruits and veggies. You can even add things like bread and avocados. If they offer milk and eggs, it will be a wrap, but I think they've had to pull back from those items. Yeah, I don't know what Hungry Harvest is, but I guess they bring groceries to your house and you cook them.
I guess so. Yeah. I want to say Ruby Tuesdays, if I'm not mistaken. And it's not at every location, but they sent me an email basically saying, like, a lot of their food, they're selling it. And they actually was like, we actually have ingredients, and we actually will, you know, send them to your house so you can cook. You kind of do like a pay service, like you pay us for
like
it.
A HelloFresh, but
right, Ruby Tuesdays. But through Ruby Tuesdays, and I understand, because they have all that food that they probably have purchased. Is that they're like, what the fuck we gonna do with this food?
Yeah,
and this is one good way to actually put the food to use, and it prevents people from having to go to the grocery store.
Amon says a lot of restaurants have started using delivery companies now, so I'm glad there's more options out there, but some also let you call in your order and bring in your car. I haven't done that yet, but I'm also cooking more too. Alicia says, I'm taking advantage of all this free delivery. I even had Burger King deliver. I'm so sick of cooking. HelloFresh is looking real appetizing right now. I'm gonna look up Hungry Harvest too. Miss Barnes says, I enjoy cooking, so I will continue the grocery shop, but I've ordered from restaurants like on Friday as a treat to myself. I even ordered from Arby's, and they were so sweet to me, loading me up the extra curly fries and cheese cups. Oh, Miss Barnes.
Huh, what else are they gonna do with it, baby?
I mean, they weren't selling food before. They did that before, because they don't really sell food. It's a drug running operation.
What else are they gonna do? The drug dealers ain't eating extra curly fries, yeah. So here you go, ma'am.
It's just a money laundering organization.
Yeah,
so.
You know, sorry, drug sales are down, so here you go.
I feel that if I do need to support my local spots, I will grocery shop for my local restaurants, as they do put together fresh meal pairings as well. And Zakiya says, ordered pizza with my niece Sunday. Dude delivered it without gloves or a mask. That's the last time I'm ordering anything. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess. My thing is, they've been doing the no contact. So it's like they leave the shit on the ground. You got to pick it up at your door. At least that's what I've been experiencing. So whether they got a mask or not, ain't going to matter, because I'm not eating it out of the shit you put it in anyway. All that's getting wiped down, homie, and all of it's going into something in my house that I know is clean, so
correct, you know. And I want to say Papa John's has like this tamper thing now, like a lot of them starting to put tamper stuff on it, so you can tell that it hadn't been tampered since it has left the store.
It's creating a lot of innovations,
and some of that stuff is going to stay, particularly with the, I can see that tamper thing that I seen on Papa, I can see that staying, so when they seal that box, you can guarantee it hadn't been opened again.
The next episode was my law. We didn't get any comments, but we did have a poll. The poll was, did the election of Donald Trump have a positive effect on your mental health? Yes or no?
No.
98% of the audience says no. 2% says yes, and I guarantee you they didn't write in to explain why. Kim says, hi Rod and Karen, I'm happy Instacart and Amazon workers are fighting for their rights. On Saturday, went to pick up an order from Target. The young woman who came to my car had no protective gear on. Then she wanted me to sign a device. I asked her where her gloves were, and she said she didn't have any but her hand sanitizer. Other Targets didn't even require you to sign. I told her to be safe. I got a survey from Target and I was positive, but I did admonish them for not protecting their employees. Again, positive but implored them to treat their employees but with better care. I did get an email where they said they were not going to require signatures. I hope they did give them gloves and masks too.
Yeah, because you paid up front normally if you're going to pick it up like that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I work in the pharmacy insurance. The hydroxychloroquine situation is crazy. We have had to put certain caveats on the dispensing of this drug. I had a call today where the MBR said it was sold out in New York and she needs it for long standing condition and can't get it. Crazy days. We still have it in stock, but who knows how long. Kiyoti says, hey Rod and Karen, Trump's election left depression ringing in my ears like tinnitus, or tinnitus, long after a concert. The tears of responsibility and joy I shed at 6 a.m. the day I stood in line to vote for Obama were replaced with chilling inner tears that sent shivers down my back, realizing we were heading back to something frighteningly familiar, that it would once again be more of an open season on our lives, rights, and opportunities. His election reinforced the idea that Obama or any politician cannot and will not save us. It has always been up to us. Be responsible to save ourselves, and by to save the country by that we say the country we built. I haven't mentally checked out of the political process. I just realized elections are only really relevant if those elected aren't being held accountable during their terms by those who put them in office. This president is arguably the worst in history, but I try to lend my attention to those actions and people coming together to educate and act to offset this administration. I feel you on that.
It affected my mental health bad. I was mad. I was raging mad.
Like, you were mad for a long time.
Like it took a while for that anger to lift up off of me.
And I'm still mad. It's just not the predominant emotion. And I think also just I don't know, man. Like reading all this shit, it just for me. I was just kind of already like, yep, we can easily go back there. And when it happened, I was like, and that's what the fuck happened.
Right,
you know what I mean? Right. Like I'm mad, I'm pissed, but it's the default setting for this country, so of course.
Right, and like now, yeah, that, but like this, that anger is still there. Don't get me wrong, but it isn't that internal flame that I couldn't put out before. Because before I couldn't put it out, no matter how much I tried.
Right. Miss Barnes says, when the Orange Menace was elected, I got to see a lot of subtle racism. Sadly, there is such a thing, and damn stupidity from people that known for a very long time. It was very sobering to see. And sadly, I will admit that I was glad I saw those people that I call colleagues and now former friends for what they really are. With that being said, the Grand Orange has zero positive effect on my mental health. I cannot listen to this stupid motherfucker talk because it sounds worse than nails on a chalkboard. His policies are complete trash, and just the sight of him is nauseating, and I wish he would go away.
Agreed.
Yeah, what's crazy to me is thinking like white people looked at that and thought that was okay.
Yeah,
because I like you can only justify with racism. There's not another thing.
Mm-mm.
No matter what white people try to tell me, I'm never gonna believe anything but racism elected the man because he's so abhorrent in every other sense. I mean, every sense. He's a liar, he's a grifter, he's a con artist, he's a thief, he's a fucking misogynist, he's all these things. And there was nothing about him that seemed like he can run a nation. You know, even when people say they want a businessman, that's a con because he doesn't even run his businesses good.
No, he's bankrupt several businesses. He doesn't pay people. Like there's nothing. He does not have the track record and my thing is this, he's never been a senator, a mayor, a congressman. I don't even know if he ran for fucking student council, and his first position is the fucking president of the United States.
Only whiteness that can't conceptualize itself could look at that and think this is what we need to in America right now. Only whiteness. And the fact that, and I'll take it another step, the fact that white people weren't objectively like, the fact that they weren't like motivated to make sure he lost tells you another thing about them, another thing about the inherent innocence of whiteness in their minds.
Mm-hmm.
Nick R leaves a comment on A Town Called Swords. We are confabulating species and are incapable of recognizing our own blind spots. It will always be easy to point out the obviously perverse behavior so perfectly portrayed by others in this age of hyper narcissism. We commit to narratives that fit our canon in a desperate attempt to propel the projected world against reality. A lot of times I notice life being lived as inactive porn or Pokemon. I really think people are out here stuck in their solipsistic bubbles, interacting with others only to validate their shared narcissism. We use everyday relationships as avatars rather than actualized beings to perpetuate our narratives in a way that was once reserved for celebs and other comparable demigod archetypes. All of this just leads to toxic tribalism and manifests itself in validation gangs that propel never-ending purity games. The purity games themselves are often just a means of feeling superior rather than good faith indignation. In other words, it's a form of one-upsmanship designed to obtain usurp power and status, whether morally or intellectually. You know what, Nick? I agree completely. Everything you just said there makes complete sense to me.
Vocabulacious.
Yeah, it was very vocabulacious, but it's essentially what we talk about on this show all the time, man. And you know, and like I said, there's a level of understanding, because I think the kind of quote-unquote groupthink and tribalism stuff, that there's a level of sense that it makes when you're marginalized. You do want to be around people that will protect you and whatnot. I think the fear is that people will then invert the same hierarchy of society that is unfair. They'll invert it, and so now it's like in this group, black men run everything, okay, because we tired of people shitting on black men, blah blah blah, okay, cool. But then when a black man in that group starts acting up or being stupid or fucked up or misogynist or whatever, it's like, well, we can't check that person. That person is at the top of the group. We formed a group to protect black men, so he gets to be fucked up to people. That's the problem I have with that. Like, that's when I have a problem with it, because there becomes like a absence of responsibility, an absence of kindness and all this type of shit towards other people, because it's like, this group is about protecting us. And it's like, okay, what form does that take? Because right. If protecting yourself takes the form of just, you know, what white supremacy does, but with a different person at the top, I don't want no part of it. But yes, very vocabulacious.
Mm-hmm.
Really dark. And I think I only understood that because I read it twice. Like, the first time I read that comment when it was posted, I was like, I guess approved. I don't know. Like, I don't know if they fuck with us or not. And then I read it, you know, again. I was like, oh, okay. That's kind of what we say. But much smarter.
Mm-hmm.
Really Dark Knight says, hey y'all, great show this week. I apologize because Rye, you made a comment that really stuck with me. I just can't remember where you said it, so I'll leave it here. It was a conversation about voting for lesser two evils. Now we're staring at the devil. I felt that. Can anyone black say this shit is better than expected? Because now we're in the shits. You are right. Everyone got a little bit too comfortable, and this is wherein people let their guards down. People really should have paid attention how quickly some jumped off President Obama after 2 years because they didn't get what they wanted. To teach that black man a lesson, to teach black people a lesson. Yeah, man. I mean, you guys have been listening to the show since 2010, because that's when we started it. I've been on this since 2010. Like, the expectations of Obama were through the roof in a way that was so fucking ridiculous. And I'm hearing from black people. Like, I'm not even trying to take us out of it. We also fed into this messiah narrative at some points too. Not all of us, quote unquote, but enough. You know, enough that the people that are walking around now talking about he wasn't shit and he ain't even a black president and shit, their unrealistic expectations actually help feed the negativity. You know, of course, white liberals turned on him immediately when he wasn't a magical Negro. You knew, and I think maybe it is my protectionism of the Obama family in general, but I was just kind of like, I can see what's gonna happen. I'm not abandoning this fucking family. Not to make some woke nigga on Twitter feel comfortable or feel like they got it together better than me. I'm not gonna keep adding, and he wasn't perfect, to the sentence in a world where no one's perfect and no president has ever been better than him, and definitely no president's perfect. So why do I have to keep adding this as some type of bona fide to let you know I'm woke or I'm down? That's not what the fuck this is about. Like, you know, he did as good a job as he could do in the face of motherfucking unprecedented backlash, unprecedented obstructionism.
Right. People publicly coming out and saying that they won't do nothing.
My job will be successful if I can stop him from doing whatever he's doing. Was I can't remember exactly, maybe it was Mitch McConnell, but they said that shit on like day one. You know what I mean? And so to me, I think I was always praying for this moment where I was, and you know, I'll lose a friend over this. I don't care.
Mm-mm.
You know, because if you really can't fuck with this, you're probably not really my real friend in the first place. But like, I know I'm right, and I'm gonna let that fuel me. Like, I know I'm right. I'm not being mean about it. I'm not condescending. I'm not gonna try. Well, I might be condescending, but I'm not gonna be mean about it. I'm not seeking out conflict over it. But I really do firmly believe with the fullness of my heart that that family and that man did the best he fucking could in this terrible ass country. You know, and so when people abandon him immediately, when people, you know, like less than 2 years, like he says that shit about Trayvon, and it's like you can see the C's part of support. They just move out the way. And he's on his own. You know, you can see it. You know, the Skip Gates thing, you can see it. And that's what he got for telling the truth. You know, that's how sensitive these motherfuckers were, man. So yeah, I think I've always been a little bit protective of the legacy and the man, but only because I understood that the history was not going to be fair. And the biggest, funniest, most validating thing about all this shit, the motherfuckers who downed him, who shitted on him, who sucked the fervor, who sucked the enthusiasm for progressive ideas out of America by constantly complaining, those motherfuckers are also why we have Trump.
Right.
And having Trump has now solidified Barack Obama as the greatest president of all time, period. It won't be close after this, because you immediately followed him with the shittiest president of all time. So people will forever go, remember the economy Obama had?
Right.
Remember the healthcare Obama had?
We remember didn't lose as many jobs underneath Obama.
Remember the programs Obama had? You're gonna have that now. You wouldn't have had that if you followed him with Hillary Clinton, because Hillary Clinton would have progressed on his ideas, and we would have been like, yeah, you know, Obama's had some good ideas, but it was really Hillary Clinton that got us the single payer. Like, that's how people would have been. But we're not gonna have that now. We're gonna instead have this shit where it's like, remember when you had healthcare? That was nice.
Wasn't it nice though? You remember when healthcare was cheap?
You know, remember when Ebola came to America and only 2 people died and only 11 people got sick? That was cool.
That was cool. You remember when it was like thousands of people whose whole job was to get prepared for this? You remember them? You remember them 2 years ago that got disbanded? That was a good thing.
So that's what's so funny. How so many people swear they talking for black people when they talk shit about Obama. And I'm like, you talk like you don't know black people.
Right.
People that know black people, that really be in our community, that hang out and kick it with us, they don't really have to do all that shit, because it's like they have a certain level of respect for other black people that wouldn't allow them to go on to these white spaces and fucking sell us out like that. You know what I mean? I hate that shit. Like, when I see one of these, like, you know, what that dude, he is Island of Misfit Black Girls is what he said about the people from Bernie's campaign, but just misfit Negroes. When you see one of these motherfuckers like capitalizing off of, I speak for black people, read my book, Blackity Black Black, and it's like, dog, everything you say is not what our community be talking about.
Somebody said Jason Johnson.
Yeah, that dude. Yeah, when he said, like everything you say is not what we be talking about. That's why the numbers don't never show up. How many people kept talking about black people love Bernie Sanders, and then the numbers ain't why the numbers ain't show up? You know what I mean? Like, how, why do you get a check to say shit that's not true? Black people hate Obama. Then why they vote for Joe Biden? It don't make sense what you're saying.
Mm-mm.
Like, do you know us, or do you just try to speak over us? Anyway, I believe it was Karen who said that people are nastier now that they are stuck in their homes with nothing to do but be nasty online.
Right.
That is exactly what I'm witnessing. So I check out. Everyone's stress levels are so high right now. Everyone's trying to catch a body online. I'm stressed because I can't hit the gym every day. Even though the topics can increase the stress level, I'm glad that this show exists so that I can get away from the foolishness for an hour or two, sometimes three. I appreciate you both and the show. Peace.
Thanks.
Yeah, man. Like I said, I try to give the news and then keep it funny and keep it light, but you know, some of the shit ain't light.
Mm-mm.
Gotta be honest. EVE says, I think people getting upset with celebrities is nothing new. It's just that we're all home now and there's more time to troll. When Gal Gadot did her Imagine video, I didn't really think much of it, but people were big mad and I was like, the guy from Insecure, let the bitch sing. This pandemic has made me not want to be on the internet even less. Yeah.
Yeah, for me too. Like I said,
I've been on there less too.
I dip in and out, but I stay away. And I guess I've always had a problem with the way people treat the celebrities before, and this just amplifies it.
What's crazy is I haven't watched that video.
I haven't either.
Because I don't have to. And I just, what's funny to me is saying you hate these celebrities and you hate what they do and you hate da-da-da-da-da, and then clicking on the video. That's crazy to me. You know what I mean? I don't even hate these motherfuckers, and I'll be like, I'm not clicking on that shit. I don't care what's happening with them. I'm in my bag over here worried about my house. That's crazy. Like, I'm telling you, man, it's like a narcissistic ex. Like, I'm gonna check in on you just so I can tell you you're getting fat. You know, that person. Miss Barnes says, I never seen a documentary Breakaway to do an episode of Snap. That documentary will be the most... The documentary will be the most 7 entertaining hours of my life that I cannot get back. Give us another problematic Carol, shaking my damn head. With that, yeah, they did give us one. Yep. We got Carol, from The Walking Dead, and now this Carol. With that being said, old girl knocked off her second husband. She gift wrapped her spouse to those tigers dripping in oil. Literally, she did that shit. Yeah, well, she brought up that sardine oil. I was like, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
She dipped him in that shit like a fish nugget.
Oh, if I would ask, nigga. This how I would have killed him if I did, but I didn't. Did you pull any April Fool's Day pranks? Yes. Not this year, or I never do April Fool's Day.
Oh, I never do April Fool's Day.
76% of my audience never plays like that. Mm-mm. 22% just didn't do it this year because shit is so bad. And 2% said they did do one. Alicia says, I pulled the old I'm pregnant trick. Didn't work though. Oh, Alicia. You said you ain't letting this shit get you down. I feel you. Felix says, I hate April Fools because I can never think of anything funny to do. I always get bitter at the folks who can, thus the hating. Yeah, I won't even front though. I don't even be saying them shits is funny, man.
No, you know, and maybe because I know I'm very gullible, I fucking hate April Fool's Day. I'm like, no, don't trick me.
I always be like, damn, man, y'all really abuse your friends. You know what? It's like how I don't find when white people make those videos are like, this, my friend fell asleep around us and we stuck a motherfucking, we took him, stripped him down naked, wrote on his face with magic markers, and then we put him in the tub. I'm like, why would you do that to your friend who trusted you enough to get drunk? Right. You know, it's like, right. I'm incapable of having a sense of humor about it, and I know it's me. I'm not saying I'm, yeah. This is how it should be. So that's, I guess that's why I don't do April Fools and stuff like that.
Mm-mm. Right. Cause I would probably end up getting mad, like real big mad going, the fuck is this? And you would have to tell me it was a joke.
Yeah. This feel like April Fool's year. The way.
The whole year.
We all started with all them resolutions. It was like, you won't be doing any of that.
April Fools.
Right. April year. 2077 Get Carol Life Alert is the name of this episode, our Walking Dead recap, because you know Carol fell down and she needed some help.
Mm-hmm.
Carol is on that I'm doing my own shit. I enjoyed this episode because we got to see how Carol has tortured herself in the form of Alpha in her head. We needed that visual to see what demons Carol is battling. Yeah, I felt like they were trying to redeem her with that, because
mm-hmm.
for all, you know, all of us have been on her ass since Connie cave in. Shit, mm-hmm. Before that even.
Oh, she been wilding.
Also, Beta is now known to me as Freddie Myers. Don't bother to correct Karen anymore, Rod. Beta is now Freddie Myers. Well, Freddie Myers is who is like that Legends of Tomorrow. I'm the one
mashed it together.
Yeah, I know. I'm the one that messed up. Freddie Myers is what he was called. That was correct.
Okay.
I thought you were trying to say Freddy Krueger, but no, Freddie Myers. These recaps are the best part of my week, especially in this CPOC. Thank you so much. Thank you, Miss Barnes.
Thank you.
Turk says, hi guys, do you think Rosita is a goner now that we got a new Latina character? Oh yeah, I mean, Puerto Rican, it counts though. Maybe. I mean, I think she got a job on another show anyway, so I mean, she might gotta go. You know, either way, we might have to get rid of Rosita. I mean, they could do the Michonne Rick thing and, you know,
allow her to come back.
Yeah, just in case, but.
I hope that's what they do.
The Walking Dead does a play about maintaining that diversity quota. They really don't, though. Like, on the low, they started introducing, like, 7 niggas. It's like, okay, some black person gotta go. You know what I mean? Cause it's like, it's too many. It's the Walking Dead, not the Walk-In Dead. Peace, Turk. the poll was, do you think we will see Connie and Daryl get together?
I do.
Okay, well, in addition to you, Karen, 81% of the audience agrees. 19% say no. So I don't know if they think we're gonna find her dead.
I hope not.
She gonna come out of the cave and
be like
love should have brought your ass home last night,
right?
I don't know,
or she might have got bit, might actually be a zombie. I hope not.
Miss Barnes says if Connie doesn't show up alive, Daryl's gonna put an arrow through Carol.
Right through her chest.
That rhymes. And EVE says I think Connie will show up so Daryl can finally get some booty in the Z-Pac. That, yeah, he's so asexual, man. I don't think we've ever seen him. I don't know what it would look like for Daryl to be macking on somebody. That way they can fill the void of sweet swirly love that we lost with Rick and Michonne left. Yo, could fill the void though, and he could fill her void, if you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And I think you do know what I'm saying, because I think you're picking up what I'm putting down. Roger 10-4 a bit, buddy. All right, let's get into we had one voicemail. 7-557-0186 is our voicemail line. Just make sure it's 2 minutes or less, because it will cut your ass off. It don't give a fuck. 704-557-0186, I believe is the number. But yeah, we appreciate y'all that take time out.
Hey, Rod and Karen, it's your lady Katanya, aka the Thick Ballerina. Hope all will fall. Thank you guys so much again for the great podcasting you're doing during the coronavirus. Really greatly appreciate it. Remember this week you guys mentioned going to Trader Joe's and how they've upped their cleaning. So just wanted to share that I actually am a crew member at a store here in D.C., store 662. And just wanted to let you in a little bit behind the veil on the things that we have been doing to increase the cleaning of the store. So normally before coronavirus, we had a task on the hourly law called CE, which is called customer experience. And customer experience entailed retrieving the carts from the cash registers and from the parking lot and putting it back in the front so new customers could get the carts, changing the garbages, cleaning the bathrooms, and like sweeping the store, like dry mopping and mopping. Since Corona hit, CE has been broken into 3 responsibilities. So CE1, which is again, is getting the carts and like doing the trashes. CE2 is someone solely dedicated to going around the store and like wiping down any surface that people would touch. And CE3 is, solely dedicated to being by the door and like wiping down the handles of the baskets and the carts. We also have like a door person now, so that person, you've probably seen at your Trader Joe's, is just solely dedicated to being there and like keeping people antibacterial spray on their hands and controlling how many people come inside. And it's also a new position called the rover, and that person solely stays by the cash registers and goes around to each whoever's on reg to relieve them every 30 minutes so they can wash their hands instead of just using antibacterial the whole time. So those are some things that they've been doing, that we've been doing to make sure that customers feel safe and also just to keep the store safe.
And then she got cut off, but
that's small.
Yeah, makes sense, man. I mean, but you can tell when you walk in there, like, these months, like, and I think we were talking about Publix, so I haven't actually been to Trader Joe's since it happened, but in Publix, same thing. Like, the cleanliness is on a whole nother level
people
at this point.
People mop it and sweep it and wipe it down. It's like they had extra crew in there.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't, that was their job, was just to sweep the floor, mop the floor, wipe shit down.
Yeah, and I mean, it can't hurt, obviously, but, you know, with the new recommendation that people wear cloth masks and all this type of stuff out there, and, you know, reading different information about some of these masks, you know, surgical, like, I think what everyone seems to be worried about is that people are gonna get surgical or those N95 level masks, and then think that they can stop self-distancing.
Right.
And that seems to be the big fear, because everyone is kind of being like, this is not like, because people are like, the cloth mask is not doing enough. It's like, well, technically, even the N95, if you get one, isn't technically doing enough, because the way they wear those in fucking like doctors out in the in surgery and shit, it's not the same. Mm-mm. Like, they have a fucking plastic hood that goes on there to get sealed. You put the mask on, it has to fit a certain way on your face for it to count.
It ain't the same.
They spray like this, the spray over the thing, and you have to see if you can smell it inside the mask, inside the hood. And if you can't, then they take it, then you gotta take it off. And you, they spray it just to see if you can smell it. Then if you smell, cause just make sure that you don't have some type of weird condition where you can't smell it. Right. Then you put it all back on and do the test again. Then you can go on, and you can only wear that for a certain amount of time. So like, none of this shit is foolproof. You know, even if, you know, even if it helps a little bit or doesn't help at all, people need to be self-distancing and shit. Mm-hmm. Mask on or mask off, don't matter. All right, we did get some emails from people. Okay, we got quite a few. Yaffa writes in on the first one, and I might have to look at this on my phone, because
okay,
computer Gmail, it moves at the speed it wants to move. Hi, hand washing Jones. Hi, Rod and Karen. Thank you for giving us more podcasts through these trying times with an inept president in charge. Anyways, always insightful, always funny. I laugh so loud and hard when working from home. The name of hand washing Jones is below. Ignaz Semmelweis. Semmelweis proposed the practice of washing hands with chlorinated lime solution in 1847 while working in Vienna General Hospital first obstetrical, I hope I said that right, clinic, where doctors wards had three times the mortality of the midwives wards. I also wanted to say, because I'm playing catch up, thank you for having that expert on to talk about COVID-19. Oh, Coqui. Mm-hmm. It really helps me to calm down and understand the facts. Take care, be blessed, stay healthy. Sincerely, Yaffa K. There is one thing that makes a dream impossible to achieve: the fear of failure. Paul Cole. Thank, oh, that's like you, a little quote.
Mm-hmm.
Cedric wrote in, and he, it had like slides and everything for this Dr. Semmelweis stuff.
They were like, y'all gonna learn.
You niggas are so smart. It's crazy, really, honestly. Hey, Rod and Karen, I'm dedicated long-time listener, probably more like a dedicated lurker, because I've been too lazy to holler back over many years, but the science teacher in me couldn't keep sleeping when I heard you guys talking about hand-washing Jones. It just so happens that I teach a class on the origin of hand-washing practices, and we have been emphasizing the practice here long before Corona hit, because the flu has been so bad this year. I've shared a revised copy of the presentation that I have used in class for the last several years. I think the name is pronounced Semmelweis. Oh, okay. But I ain't Hungarian. I'm a middle-aged brother, born and raised in South Carolina, currently living and teaching in Ogden, Utah. I haven't moved out here with my family in 2015. That's a long conversation about culture shock, culture clash, and God only knows what else. I enjoyed the jokes, but the true story has some parallels to this nightmare that we are living today, and I just had to finally come out of the shadows and share it. Love your show. The manner in which I listen most of the time makes for an interesting anecdote in itself. In my opinion, I promise y'all this, I'll get your long overdue 5-star review done on Stitcher this week. I said I would do it last week and I didn't, but excuses have ran out. Spring break is this week and we are doing distance learning until May 1st. Ain't gonna make no sense to go back to school after that, but mm-hmm. I don't get to be involved in making those decisions anymore.
And that's if you go back then.
Thanks for keeping me connected to my roots in the Cackalacks, as I call them. God bless and love you both, said. Yeah, and then
thank you.
There's a bunch of slides on this thing. I won't show you guys all the slides, but he does go into the same story.
Thank you.
Crystal writes in. I think this gotta be Miss Crystal. Yes. Mm-hmm. Hey Rodrin, before there was a hand washing Jones, there were midwives, and those same quote unquote doctors who bullied hand washing Jones bullied midwives out of the business, calling them witches and whatnot, and had the audacity to wonder why moms and babies were dying at a rapid rate on some. The nurse called me while I was balls deep in a week old cadaver to deliver this baby, so I stuck my hands out of the dead body and straight into this woman's vagina, and she just died. Man, they don't make women like how they used to. Shaking my head. Lassai, All in all, I'm in Fairfield County, Connecticut, and both my husband and I are essential workers. Me at the Substance Abuse Treatment Organization and him at the Substance Abuse Creation Organization, aka the liquor store. Total Wine Emporium. And they're like, emoji and two glasses clinking. We're heavily impacted between folks from New York working here and folks who live here working in New York. Our first county cases originated from a healthcare worker from Westchester County, New York, who worked in our local and other, in another local hospital. The funny thing is the dope fiends and the crackheads are more considerate and follow social distancing better than the affluent people at the wine store my husband works at. He says they're still mad, rude, and entitled, bringing their whole family and including babies and dogs in the store. I told them today that they're the main ones spreading that foreign disease all over the place with their poor hygiene and flying all over the place. Plagues on the society they are. I know that sounds bad, but I was just talking about entitled rich white people. They discriminate against us and now Asians, and so I'm discriminating against them. Oh, dirty legged, unvaccinated, afraid to use bleach because it's not organic, tough mutter, paid to be out in the wilderness, dog mouth kissing, alcoholic, moldy cheese eating, loud mouth, dirty feet, pest. Too much, I don't know. All I know.
I think somebody's a little upset.
Mm-hmm. All I know is I'm very salty. I'm an essential employee and dragging my feet in the office. At least now it's only 3 days a week, but at the same time the clients know what time it is and express gratitude to me and the other staff by acknowledging that we're risking our lives and the lives of our families to provide treatment for them. I feel glad I came through. When they said my words help, that helps me. Also, I'm glad I'm there when I come across high-risk people who have HIV, diabetes, high blood pressure, etc., and are active in their addiction. I can keep tabs on them because at this time, they're highly likely to die either from coronavirus or overdose. My fear is about the dead bodies on the street of people who overdose or die from other deaths of despair. This guy in my town killed his two young children and himself last week, and a couple towns over, a guy drowned a significant other. People are not okay and need to reach out for help. Which, with that said, let's be mindful and not just the physical health workers, but also the mental health and behavioral health workers who are on the front lines as well. We are going to be dealing with this for a while. Stay blessed. I keep you in my prayers. Oh, I forgot. Excuse me. Stay positive vibe. And I keep you in my thoughts. Slugs and crystals, Miss Crystal.
Thank you.
I don't care if you pray for me, girl. I don't, like, that don't bother me.
I'm fine with that.
I pray for people too. I just want y'all to know that. Okay. Y'all think it works. So I'm just trying to help. Okay. Like, what, I'm agnostic, not atheist. Like, I could easily be wrong about all this shit, is what I'm saying. I die and then be like, oh shit, it was real, you know what I'm saying? I cover my bases. Throw up a prayer for y'all if I see it on Facebook, like, pray for me and my family, I'll be like, I got you. LaShonda says, feedback episode. Good morning, my lovelies. I appreciate you still putting informative and entertaining content out there. You actually had me considering watching Michonne's farewell episode of Walking Dead. As a matter of fact, I think I will, because Michonne, as a savior, come through. Yeah, she was killing that black durag. Mm-hmm. Stay sane. I know you are. I had to delete the Twitter app off my phone. Even though I didn't think I was allowing what was going on there to get to me, I freaked out Saturday because I was super exhausted Friday, fell asleep at 7, woke up at 7 the next day, and I was still feeling run down. It had been 14 days since my last gym visit, and all I could think was, shit, do I have COVID-19? If I do, what about my baby? He's only 15, and right now no one can really get to him without exposing themselves. Then I reached into the pocket pair of jogging pants I worn to lay about the house, and I found 2 days worth of iron pills that I stuck in my pocket with the intention of taking but forgot to take. Given that I'm anemic, yeah, forgetting doses will run me down. I took it and I feel better, but I realized I'd allow all the panic death obituary notices and oh, this person I know has to take it seriously posts that were flooding my timeline to get inside my head. Yeah, I mean, definitely can get to you. I know it's gotten to me before too, sometimes for the best and sometimes not. Like, one thing I'm glad is that it definitely made me take it serious because, mm-hmm. you know, being up on this and having the job I have, I couldn't afford to ignore it. So I had to read a bunch of this shit to filter through to be like, what do we want to tell our audience about this? And thank God I did that stuff because I was reading about what was happening overseas before it happened here. And, you know, I still remember the night we were in a restaurant. I told Karen, I was like, I don't think we should even be going out to eat. This was before they closed anything down, did any of that stuff.
About a month before everything shut down.
Yeah, it was a good little, at least a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. And I remember being like, I don't feel comfortable with this. You know?
It was the day Trump came on and made that announcement.
He did a press, well, he does announcement every day. But one night he broke in the middle of the night and did one. I can't remember what it was. And even then he was downplaying it. It was the one where he said he was sitting in the Oval Office, and at the end they had him on got him on tape because the camera hadn't cut off yet, and he was going, okay, that one. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, but I'm glad that I took it seriously and stuff, because you know, and I don't try to be preachy and shit, but I did see people on my social media being like, I don't give a fuck, I'm still going to the gym, or this ain't gonna stop me from doing it. And all I could think was like, am I tripping? Because I, like, maybe I'm being too paranoid because I'm reading all this shit, and it's got me feeling like, you know, this is quite obvious gonna affect us. I mean, look at Italy, look at Spain, look at these places.
Yeah, they shutting down.
Yeah, I'm like, it seems like this is the only way to treat this thing. And I had people being like, I'm not letting this stop me from my New Year's resolution and shit. And I'm like, all right, maybe I'm tripping. But at the same time, there does cross a threshold where it's like, it's no longer educating anyone, it's just us like disasturbating and rolling the same thing. This famous person died, this person, oh look at this video, this man said he was coughing, and now look at this man's Twitter account. And it does get to a point where it's like, I don't think this is helping anymore.
Nope.
Like, everyone that that's gonna get it has either gotten it, and everyone that's not gonna get it at this point don't care.
Yeah.
I'll go back to Twitter at some point. Oh wait, yeah, it also doesn't help that Twitter changed it so that if someone you follow likes something, it shows up in your feed even if you aren't following the other person. I'll go back to Twitter at some point, but for now I can't do it. Yeah, I sometimes I use a TweetDeck instead because I can filter all my interactions. I don't have to see all that shit.
Yes sir.
Like, I can be like, don't show me what people like, show me what people like interact with. I've started snoozing people on Facebook for the same reasons. If we panic, it helps nothing. It only serves to cause more stress, making us more susceptible to illness. I'm going to teach myself some new things, try to get better at quilting, and wait for things to hopefully get better. You guys stay safe, stay sane, looking forward to whatever episodes you are inspired to give us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, quilting and stuff, shit, you might end up sewing masks or something at some point, the way this shit is going.
I thought about that. I said, if I had my sewing machine, I'd have made us one.
My mom sewed some. Okay. She sent me a picture of something that she sold. So, you know, I mean, I think it helps people because they feel more productive, you know. Anyway, Marshawn Law, this is from Rebecca. Good morning, Rod and Karen. I'm not even through the Reading Rainbow segment of this podcast, and I'm writing you. By the way, I'm in love with this segment. Please don't stop doing it. Now on to what I was writing about. That pride is a hell of a drug, as Karen so eloquently said. When I was young, my mom would tell me the story of a woman who visited her when she was very young and told her horrible tales of the white man being discriminated and victimized after the Civil War. For many years, I couldn't make heads or tails of the story, and I chalked it up as bullshit. A couple of years ago, I came across a podcast called Uncivil. I love that podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's truly a shame this podcast didn't make more episodes because it was beyond good, wasn't
right?
It? One episode was called The Spin, and it explained the story my mother has stood by to this day. After the Civil War, there was a movement started by a white woman to go to affluent families and tell these horrible propaganda stories, and in turn helping to create this movement. Yeah, the Daughters of the Confederacy. The podcast talks about how this movement affected all the media as it tried to push this narrative. Upon finishing this podcast, I called my mom and asked more questions, confirming my suspicion that she had been visited by one of those propaganda ladies. When I explained to her that she had been fed this propaganda as a small child and that it's an inaccurate perception of what happened after the Civil War, she quickly ended the conversation. Yeah, white people can't even really process it because it then upends the entire foundation of your existence. And black people, unfortunately, it's not like black people are so much quote unquote better. We can't believe the lies because we've experienced too much truth to believe. Like, it's so rare to find a black person that really believes in all that, like, quote unquote patriotism bullshit of America. It's so rare because most black people are like, no, that's not true, that's not what y'all do. Mind you, my mom has been told this story since sometime in the decade of 1950. I try very hard to open my mother's eyes to her preconceived prejudices, but and even racist views, but it's to no avail. The only thing I can do at this point is learn not to have these preconceived notions, be open to criticism, and by all means apply critical thinking. I'm the breaker of that story in my family and will not repeat it in such a manner as to garner sympathy, but as a learning tool to show how propaganda can be devastating to it for generations to come.
Come on, breaker of chains. Do it.
That's basically all you can do. Like, that's one of the things I don't like about online too, is everybody presents these scenarios where they have the perfect quip at Thanksgiving that, like, solves racism in their family and shit. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's such a lie. It's so disingenuous, and it's so much about like, what do they call that? Something signaling. I don't know. It's like signaling that I'm morally better than you. Virtue signaling. Yeah, it's so bullshit. Like, you know, it's like my aunt said, you put on a little weight. And I said, yeah, well, you need to stop being fat phobic. And then she said, oh my God, you told me. And then she stopped, and I'm like, that didn't happen. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that that conversation wouldn't have been a great thing on a TV show, but I know in real life that's not how the fuck it happens.
Yep.
In real life, you just gotta roll your eyes a little bit at auntie and go get you some potato salad and stay the fuck away from her side of the table. Yep. That's it.
Yep. Or just be like, y'all know what, I got to go, and right, politely pack your shit up and leave.
Very rarely do they, because even if you had a conversation, very rarely does someone go, that conversation is what changed me. Mm-mm. You know, so you can present it to the you know, to somebody, but once they've been indoctrinated since the 1950s, you're not undoing that in a year or in one or two conversations. Mm-mm. Thank you for sharing the excerpts from the Out of the House of Bondage book. I really do need to get this book because I enjoy every quote you read from it. Thanks again for all your hard work you both put in. Sincerely, Rebecca. Thanks.
Thank you, baby.
Okay, this isn't even in the right folder. Hold on one second. Let's see. We got, Katanya. Good morning from Trader Joe's in DC. Hey, Rod and Karen. Hope all is well. Thanks again for the podcast you two have been giving us through this time of the quarantine. I really appreciate it. During one of your episodes this week, you mentioned going to Trader Joe's in your area and how they stepped up the clearing. Wait. This is basically what you said on the thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Let me see what, if she has any extra information. So yeah, he's talked about cleaning. Mm-hmm. Working at store 662. Let's see, a cool thing that store 662 has done, has crew members come in and provide us an $8 meal voucher for every shift that we work.
Come on through, meal voucher.
How this works is that we bring whichever food items to the mate captain's office, and the mate writes down the item's SKU number and its price, and we both sign our names by the items. It's a little thing, however, it's a nice touch to show that they care. In the huddle this morning, one assistant manager's mate is what TJ's calls their assistant managers. Oh, okay. The store shared with us that Trader Joe's Central is now making sure each store crew gets face masks and encourage crew members to wear them if they don't already have their own mask. Today they provided our store with 100 disposable masks. Wow. I can't remember which company the mate mentioned. However, this company is teaming up with Trader Joe's to make cloth masks for all the crew members, from the Hawaiian shirts that the mates and captains is what TJ's calls the store managers wear. These cloth masks are scheduled to arrive within the next week. As well as Hilton Hotels have decided to team up with TJ's in response to the toilet paper shortage that has arisen since the coronavirus lockdown and stay-at-home orders. The Hilton Hotels will be sending extra single wrap toilet paper rolls to TJ's around the U.S. so that people can purchase them. It's anticipated to start as soon as Monday the 6th. Thought that these were all good things to share with you and fellow podcast listeners of podcasts and frequent Trader Joe's. Thanks again for your great podcast. Love, Katanya. Thank you.
Come on through, Trader Joe's. The thing is, I remember when the founder of Trader Joe's passed, this was a rarity. I'd literally seen nothing but praise for that
Me
man.
Me too. That was crazy.
I'm not trying to be funny. I seen literally nothing but praise. Everybody said that that was the best man in the world.
I'm sure there was somebody that don't fuck with him. I'm sure. Right. Because he's rich and he's white, and there's people that's all they need to see to be like, fuck this person's entire mission. But like, I saw a lot of praise, which is so rare these days.
Everybody praised about their health care and their health coverage. And you know, one dude was saying like he had like brain surgery, and they ended up picking up just about all the costs. Mm-hmm. It was literally everybody associated said that they were hurt that that man passed. And the thing is, if you do right by your employees, your employees would do right by you. A lot of companies treat employees like shit, and then they wonder why they don't have the best employees. You get what you give.
Lastly, Mary says, general email, just want to drop you and Karen a note and say thank you. Listening to the Daily Live podcast as a chat room has been one of the high points of my day as I enter week 3 of California's stay at home order. By the way, I am very grateful for our governor being so proactive. He has saved lives, no doubt. Yeah, Newsom was on it. Like, once again, like that, you get who you vote for. Anyway, I know you are probably stressed too, so I appreciate you being here for us daily and helping us get through this. Also, while I've been premium for a few years now, I only listen to Balls Deep Sport live, thinking I wouldn't understand the nerd off, but now that I have time, I logged on to the live show yesterday for the first time. Turns out I'm a nerd. Ain't it something? I'm telling you, man.
We all are a little bit, actually.
Everybody a nerd at this point. Mm-hmm. There's nobody that's not nerd.
Yeah.
You do something nerdy. You play video games. You game on your phone. Mm-hmm. You're into some science shit. You watch Marvel movies. Nerd culture is pop culture now.
Right.
You got Disney Plus, Netflix, something.
Watch Steven Universe, something. Yeah. It's something you have that you just know everything about it just because.
Plus, I think we do a pretty relatable nerd show. It's not, you know, it's not the No Girls Allowed, you know, He-Man hating hour. It's not, you know, every, you know, we hate cool people and celebrities. Like, it's not that. It's a very accessible show.
And I'm glad you tuned in. If you go back and listen to some older episodes, Roderick and all them will tell you when we first started the show, I was like, I am not a nerd.
Right. It's funny because she would think, I'm not a nerd, so I don't, because I would do the show without Karen. Karen wouldn't be on here. She'd be like, I'm not a nerd, da da da. And then she would listen to the show, and then she would be talking to me in the car about shit we talked about on the show. I'm like, just be on the fucking show. You know what I mean? Like, why, like, I don't, like, these opinions, I don't mind you giving them to me, but you can share these opinions with the world. You care about this shit just as much as us. You know? You want to hear somebody talk about Steven Universe on the show and none of us watch it? Come be on the show and talk about Steven Universe. You will find out that many people love Steven Universe.
They do.
And you are a nerd, you know? Yeah, turns out I'm a nerd, or nerdy enough anyway. Yay, something new to listen to. Thanks, you two. You're doing a good thing. Thank you, Mary.
Thank
we appreciate you.
You. Right, and for people that are praying, that are premiums, actually tap on to all of the shows, because you will be amazed at how much shit you go, I don't know about that. You be like, you know what? I really like this shit.
Yeah, movies and TV show reviews.
Yeah, lip smacking good. Yeah,
food. Like, right. We try to do, you know, if you like us, you probably like all the stuff we do for the most part, or at least give it a shot. You never know. You know, I know people that say I don't like sports, but they love Balls Deep Sports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the reason they love Balls Deep is because we're not really talking that much about sports.
We talk about stuff around sports.
Yeah. We talk about somebody's baby mama. We talk about, you know, all kinds of shit, you know, talk about what these groupies is up to.
Mm-hmm. We'll keep you informed on the gossip.
Who cheating on who? You know, which teammate said some shady shit to the other one and got subtweeted? Like, we into that.
Come on, who posted something on Instagram?
So, you know, we just try to do that, man. We're not giving fucking football score predictions and what do you think of this rule change? We don't care.
Yeah, we tell when people throw that, we go, you don't get the show.
Yeah, so I hope you guys appreciate that, man. All right, well, that's it for this episode, guys. Although, you know, I was thinking about doing something special and going to the next segment. So I'm gonna end the show here for the podcast people that listen later.
Okay.
But I think for the listeners, I might just play some music and we can have like a little chat party.
Yay!
Kinda for everybody that's just hanging out for a little bit. Yep. At least till I finish editing the episode. You know, yay. So and if you guys have questions or you wanna like come on screen with us or something like that, we'll allow you guys to do that.
Yeah, let us know. Yeah, just for y'all.
So we'll be right back for everybody listening live. Everybody else, until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.